Well, amen. It's a blessing to be here today, and I always enjoy coming to Alum Ford. It's been a blessing over the years to be able to come, and I do thank you as a church and for your financial support and for your prayers and such as that. We thank you for having the radio station. Thank you, Brother Hall, for the years that you stayed at the helm and kept it going. I have searched the area where we live as I've driven, tried to go through the radio channels and everything like that. I cannot find a radio station in our area anywhere that has got one preacher on it that uses the King James Bible. Now, we are able to listen through internet to the WSOF station, and it is a blessing. And we have listened off and on for several years. And I'll be honest, we do listen more now than we used to. There's a little bit of a connection. You know, I don't have the ability, I don't have a phone where I can get on the internet. My flip phone just somehow don't do it. So I have to be at the house, and I have to be to where that I can remain pretty well in one room in order to listen to it. Anne listens to it more than I do. But I thank God for what I get to listen to. I praise the Lord for that. Thank you, church, for the sacrifice that you make. And for all of those that give, as we listened sometimes to the radio or the marathon, and you know, and the people call in and give and all of that. But I know this church heavily supports this this radio station, and I praise the Lord for that. You know, as you go along, at least it has been my experience, as you go along in life, you add people to what I call your prayer list. I used to have a physical prayer list, and over the years, as I prayed for those, I kind of have incorporated those mentally. I have an old prayer list that I found after several years that I did not know existed. And it had Ken Wayne's name on it, son. And since then, Ken had gotten saved, but it had Keith Wayne's name on it. And about this was from the time we was in North Carolina, probably over 30 years ago, that I found the prayer list that I had carried in my Bible until it was just worn. And Keith Wayne's name was on it. And about 3 years ago, we was in North Carolina, and I found out Keith had gotten saved and that was a blessing. And I began to go down through it, and there was about a half a dozen people, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God now, please understand. It was noise that Jesus was in the house. And so as I began to look at that, I began to see these people that had gotten saved, not because they was on my prayer list, but I do believe that was some help. And others I know prayed as well, and thank God for that. But Keith Wayne was one especially that I remember, because he helped build Vision Baptist Church without charging anything. And his brother he and his brother were contractors and carpenters, and they laid the block, and I mixed the mud for the foundation. Didn't charge us anything. We poured the footing when we didn't have the money to pour the concrete. We dug the footing when we had the money to pour the concrete. And we kept on, and Ken Wayne was unsaved, and one night we was having a meeting, and Jesus got into the house. And at 30 years old, Ken Wayne got saved. at Vision Baptist Church. He's a deacon in another church now in Wilkes County. He's the only man I know of that helped build the building that he got saved in while he was a lost man. He just done it because he liked me. And maybe God had something in it too. All right, thank the Lord. I couldn't help but to think, Joshua, as you was coming down to the end there, you think about the way that that man came into that house. He couldn't walk, but he walked out. The way he came into that house, he was lost, but he walked out saved. And my friends, I remember the day that I came in one way and went out another. He didn't go out through the roof. He went out another way. I'm glad that when you meet Jesus, you go out a different way. Amen. Amen. And we don't read about him anymore in the Bible, but I suspect that he was back at other times when Jesus was preaching.
That's right.
Amen. Well, again, thank you for inviting me to preach tonight, son. I would gladly have just sat and listened to someone else and did fully expect to. But I have found out through the years, when the Bible said be instant in season, out of season, I believe one of the things it's telling us is to be prepared.
Right.
And I seldom go anywhere without having some. I've got a few notes scribbled down in my Bible, you know, and things like that. I've went places in the most unexpected places and have an opportunity to preach.
Amen.
And so I do try to go with something not only in my Bible, but I try to go with something in my heart.
Right.
And I've been preaching out in Larned, Kansas on Wednesday nights. First time in my 40-some years of ministry, the first time that I have ever started preaching through the book of Psalms. I do not know. I told them when I preached Psalm 1, I did not start out to preach a series in Psalm. But after preaching Psalm 1, I felt like that the next Wednesday night I ought to preach on Psalm 2. And so I told them, I said, I guess I'm starting a series. And I don't know how long, how far through the book of Psalms I'm going to preach. But I have now preached 30 Psalms, the first 30. Last Wednesday night, I preached on this and I've thought about it and considered it quite a bit since then. And I felt like I really thought that maybe the Lord was going to have me to preach again on it at Larned, but maybe this is it. But I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 30. I'm like Joshua. I thought about preaching some other things. I thought about preaching on the reality of David's faith. You can see it in his life.
Yes,
you can see it when he was walking with God in victory, and you can see it in his failure.
Right.
How that he repented. And I really thought about preaching on somebody water the camels. I've never watered any camels. I've smoked a few, but in the years past, but I'm not proud of that. But anyway, there is a message in that, and maybe you'll hear it one day. Psalm chapter 30, stand with me, please. I'm going to read the 12 verses. And I looked back here and I saw, I believe there was 4 glasses of water sitting back there. And I thought, man, we're in for a time tonight. It's like my brother told a story about there was an elderly preacher by the name of Jimmy Bryant in Wilkes County, and my brother had him preaching for him when he was up in his 90s. And Brother Bryant told this thing, and my brother told me about it. My half-brother was a pastor, and he told me about it. He said, Brother Jimmy said, this little boy went to church one night to And he's, as he was, the preacher would preach a while, and he'd take him a drink of water. And he'd preach along a while, and he'd take him a drink of water. And I guess for the little boy, kids get weary. And so for the little boy, he felt the preacher preached a good while. And finally, he looked up at his daddy, and he said, "Daddy, that's the first windmill that I ever seen that run on water."
Yeah.
All right. I hope that's not the way we are tonight. Psalm 30. Look at the scriptures tonight. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou hast hid thy face, and I was troubled. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching of the Word of God that we've just heard, the songs of Zion that has been sung to the glory of God. And dear Father, now, as I stand before this congregation, I ask for your help. I plead your blood upon the service tonight, and Lord, I ask you to help me, shadow me behind thy cross, and Lord, clothe me, as someone said, with the cloak of thy calling. Use me to the glory of God. Help me tonight, Lord, to say the things that I need to say in a way that would honor you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Some of the things that I'm going to say tonight will be some of the same things that I said this past Wednesday night in Larned, Kansas, but some of them will not be. I want to back up, if you look at your Bible for just a moment, and probably most of your Bibles have a heading. Sometimes we overlook this, we bypass it, but this one says, "A Psalm and Song at the Dedication of the House of David." So when we look at these headings, sometimes they tell us what the occasion was upon which that they are written. A lot of times you just see a Psalm of David. You might see a Psalm of David that he delivered unto Asaph to be sung in the house of the Lord. It might be a Psalm of Asaph. It kind of struck me that here is one, and we say a psalm is a song. But this says a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. Well, I noticed that, and I began to look and try to think about what it was, and I read after some men of the past and what they said, and one of them said that this was more likely a psalm that indicated that it had musical instruments but also had voices to it. Where maybe some of the psalms was just used as instrumentals, as we do sometimes in a song, and or sometimes maybe the song would have been sung a cappella. I know that there was psalms that were prepared for them to sing on their way up to the house of God. And they sung on their way back down from the house of God. And they sung while they was at the house of God. And so there was different psalms. But this says a psalm and a song. And so I just thought I'd call your attention to it. And one of the things that I've been doing as I've been preaching in the book of Psalms, I've just looked for things, and sometimes I've just, God has given me maybe an alliterated message out of it. Sometimes it's not been alliterated, maybe a few points or something like that. Occasionally, there are things that are just interesting things that what I'm trying to do is to instill in my people a love for the Word of God. And it's been a blessing. I've had some of my people to tell me that the Psalms are meaning more to them now, just after these 30 messages. And I praise God for that. And actually, I guess I preached more than 30 messages because I've preached, I am now trying to limit to where that I'm just preaching one message out of a Psalm, even though there may be 50 messages. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to 119, Brother Hall. But anyway, when I look at this, it's been a real blessing to me. Another thing that I noticed was that it was a psalm, and I'm talking about in the heading, not down in, it's before you get to the verses. But he says a psalm and a song at the house of, at the dedication of the house of David. And I probably, I don't know how many, but I probably looked at 15 different commentators to see what they said about this. And those of you that look at some different things and some commentaries and read after what other people say and everything, you know that sometimes you hit one, and I don't know which one they got it from, but it's evident that some of them read after the same people. Because you read almost the same thing, almost word for word. But occasionally you'll see something that's different or whatever. But most of them that I read after seem to think that this dedication of the house of David, that David wrote this as a part of the dedication for the temple. My problem with that is that I don't ever remember in the Scriptures where David called the temple of God that Solomon, I've heard it called Solomon's temple, haven't you? But never did I ever hear David refer to it as my house. It was the house of the Lord. And Solomon didn't call it his temple. It was the house of the Lord. I do not think this was in reference, just from my study of this and my meditation and prayerfulness upon it. But I do not think that this was written for the dedication of the temple. I believe that it was either one of two things. It was either for the time when David built a literal house, or possibly he was dedicating his family, his house, his household. Can I tell you something? I believe that's important. And I think that's the reason the Lord kept leading me back to this today, is because it is Father's Day. I went to Taylorsville camp meeting. What year was Jeannie born? 87. I went to Taylorsville camp meeting in 1987. And I got Barry and Lisa, my youngest son, and his wife. They went over with me. I don't know who was preaching. I don't know what day of the week it was. It's a 2-week meeting. But I'm sitting there and someone's preaching. My daughter-in-law is carrying my first granddaughter, unborn. She was expecting our first grandchild. And just as real as I'm standing right here, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, "It's not too early to begin to pray for your grandchildren."
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's the impression I had as I sat there with my feet on those shavings. And that day, I began to pray for my family that was not yet here.
Yeah.
I began to pray for them.
Amen.
And I have practiced over the years, and this is not, I'm just stating a fact. I have sought before God to try every day to call every one of our family, my children, their spouses, the grandchildren, and now the great grandchildren, and the grandchildren's spouses and such as that. I seek every day to pray for them.
Amen.
I pray for our my brothers and Ann's brother and sisters and numbers of the family, and I just, it's just something that's just become a part of me. Starting in 1987, and the camp meeting I know starts on Father's Day, so it was right in that time frame. But I feel like, from my searching and thinking and considering this, and as I said, in praying, I have come to the conclusion in my mind, and I know that this is something that we probably can't be dogmatic about. Maybe it was David dedicating a house that he was building. We dedicate the houses that we live in. We dedicate them to the Lord. And we seek to do that. But it seems to me that this would be more in keeping. Many of the commentators takes you back to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, when that David bought the threshing floor from Ornan and slew the oxen and used the instruments to offer the sacrifice unto God to stay the pestilence
right
that had come upon Israel because of David's sin of numbering them. And I suspect that's true. I want you to look at this. David starts out the verse by saying, "I will extol thee." The definition of that word extol is to raise high with praise.
Amen.
And so he says, I will extol thee, O Lord. And he tells the reason why. The occasion that he's praising the Lord highly for is that thou hast lifted me up.
Yep.
Don't you think in 1 Chronicles 21, when David offered that sacrifice and it stayed the hand of the Lord, the sword of the Lord, don't you think that David thought, God's lifted me up?
Amen.
He's delivered me.
Yes.
David knew he had sinned. If you look back in that, you'll read where David acknowledged his sin. He repented of what he had done. I thought for a long time, never heard anybody say anything about it, but I thought for a long time on what was so bad about numbering Israel. I think here's one plausible reason. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Through you, your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God said, your seed shall be as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the sea.
Right.
And so, when you start counting them, well, if they're going to be that many, you can't count them.
Right.
How could you even think you could count them?
Right.
But they started counting them. And it was a sin.
Yeah.
Because it was an indication that they was not believing God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. I'm going to tell you, I puzzled over this one. This is just an aside, if you will. It's what I call them. This is a parenthesis moment in the message. Some others may have known this from the time that they got saved. But there are those of us that are a little bit slower sometimes on some things. And one of the things that I puzzled over is, and I know that you know that I have talked to you about this. Does not even nature itself teach us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? How does nature teach that? The male lion has got longer hair than the female. How does nature... I did not disbelieve the Bible.
Sure.
I just kept thinking, how? What does that mean? Do you know when a Nazarite took that vow that he would not have his hair cut? You know what he is doing? He is saying, I'll bear the reproach or the shame of my Lord. Because it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And in that respect, the nature teaches us that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. It refers, I'm sure now, I mean, that's my opinion of it, and I'm doing the preaching, so you think about it and consider that and see if that, there may be other answers. There may be other things that would go along. But I keep going back to that Nazarite and that shame that he bore for Jesus' sake. He had to, that man had to overcome his nature, his flesh, in order to be willing to bear that reproach all his life. All right, back in the message now. He said the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Another interesting thing that I'll just start out with you so that I won't read the scriptures over and over for the sake of time. Another interesting thing I found is I found nine threes. in this chapter. Trilogies. Little things of three. For an example, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Look at verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Verse 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. And on, I see little things like that. I don't know where that has any meaning whatsoever, other than that's just what happened, but it was interesting to me. Again, looking at the Scripture to where that we won't just find, where we won't just read it mundanely and it just be words, but little things. Well, when I look at this, the occasion of the writing, if it was that threshing floor, of course, where later the temple would have been built and all of that. David had sinned by numbering Israel. Joab tried to talk him out of it.
Yep.
He went against his counselors. Right. He went against them to do this thing. And I think, personally, that he may have alluded to that in verse 6. In my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. I'm going to do what I want to do. Joab says, don't do this thing. I'm going to do it. I said for you to number Israel. He's the king. In his prosperity, it looks like that he may have considered, and in other words, it would fit in that time frame is what I'm saying. Whether this is it or not, it would fit in that time frame. When God delivered him and Israel after the angel of the Lord had killed 70,000 of the people of Israel. Listen, think of the weight upon David as he realized that through my sin, 70,000 of God's people are now in the grave.
Right.
Probably every family of Israel was affected.
Right.
Maybe even and probably including David's family.
Right.
And that would not have been an easy thing to live with if you understand. David repented. God was gracious. Do you know what God said? I'm going to give you three choices. That's what intrigued me. That there's so many threes here. And back in that 1 Chronicles 21 that God said, I'm going to give you three choices. For your punishment, for the chastisement I'm going to bring upon you. And one of them was, you can fall into my hands. And David said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. Well, let me just go back there and give it to you so I won't mess it up if I can. 1 Chronicles 21. I didn't think I was going to do this, but in verse 8, and verse 7, the Bible says, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And listen. God spoke to David many, many times, But in this instance, God does not personally speak to David and deal with him because David's heart is not right with God. Although he's now acknowledged what he's doing, the Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer or prophet, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So Gad came to David and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroy them throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." And David said unto Gad, and by the way, it's immediately. There's no space of time in between. But I don't know. I don't know where David took some time to meditate upon this, but in my mind, I think as soon as he was given the three choices, he knew the choice that he was going to take. And David said unto Gad, "I am in a great state. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hands of man." David said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. He knew his Lord, and he knew his Lord was merciful and gracious, and he certainly had enough dealings with man to know, I don't want to be in their hands with my enemies overtaking me. And so I find that here he was, and David, as he acknowledges and praises the Lord, and then he goes on and he says, "O Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." And I have no doubt, as David acknowledged his sin before God, that he cried unto the Lord. And many times when you read where it says, "I cried unto the Lord," it's the idea of a heart cry unto God, not just a prayer offered, but a heart cry from a broken heart unto God. And as he cried unto the Lord, he said, "O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast made me alive that I should not go down to the pit." Now you notice when he said, "Thou hast brought my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down in the pit," he's talking about the same thing, he's just enlarging upon it.
Right.
And so there again are those threes as he enlarges upon that. And then, I want you to notice something else. He starts out by himself in verse 1, "I will extol the Lord." I notice when we got to verse 4, he's talking to somebody else.
Amen.
He's saying, "Sing unto the Lord." He's wanting some other people to get involved. Who is it? "O ye saints of the Lord." That's the only ones that can really sing the true song of the Lord. And he said, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at his at the remembrance of his holiness." Another thing that stuck out to me, Joshua said, "Jump off the page," or jumped out to him, or something like that. And another thing that kind of caught my attention is that as he said this, he said, "Give thanks at the remembrance of thy holiness."
Right.
And the thought went through my mind: why didn't he say at his deliverance? David's just been delivered. The people of Israel has just been delivered. But you see, David had encroached upon the holiness of God in numbering the people of Israel. And instead of following what God said and just trusting God that he would multiply his seed as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. But my friends, instead of that, he begins to try to get a handle on them and to count them himself to see. And so he realized that he has offended the holiness of God. And he said, as he said this, singing of the Lord, O you saints of his, it's God's people, and they're to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Just remembering who he is.
Amen.
Should come and should cause us to have a song of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Now, he's saying, in verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. But now, he's not saying, let's praise God, let's rejoice, let's sing unto him, because of what he's done for us. He said, let's do it because of who he is.
That's right. Amen.
And so there's the thought, in that. We go on, and he said, for his anger endureth but a moment. His anger endures but a moment. I believe here he's looking at it as the chastisement of God being passed. Although he's going to have to suffer the consequences, he's going to have to live with the fact that he caused the death of 70,000 of God's people. And it's his fault. It's nobody else's fault. This time it's not Saul's fault. This time it's not somebody else's fault that has killed someone in their in sneaking up and calling them aside and thrusting a dagger into their heart and all that. It's David. It's David that has sinned, and he's taken the acknowledgement of this, and he's, as he does this, he is looking at all of these things, and he's saying, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Chastisements but a moment, in his favor is life.
Amen.
And as I look at that, I see he says, weeping. So he gives these different metaphors as he's talking about it. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
And as he says those things, he comes to that verse 6. And I think there is a division in this psalm here. Verses 1 through 5, he's talking about those things. In verse 6, it changed to something else, or it seems to me so. And it's the only way that I can understand it. He said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Now he's not talking about in the Lord. He's talking about in his prosperity. And has the Bible not told us in different ways and through different people's lives that we need to be careful when we come to prosperity, lest we turn our backs? You remember that God told the people of Israel, he said, when you're in the land that I've promised you, and you're living in your sealed houses and all of this, he reminded them that in their prosperity, be careful lest they forget God.
That's right.
And is it not easy for us to, when things are going well, is it not easy for us to get like, and it looks to me like that this certainly would have fit the picture of David numbering Israel after he had risen to the rank of king, and he's now in his prosperity. And when Joab tried to stop him, basically he said, I shall never be moved. This is going to happen. Get at it.
Yep.
And so we find then David's heart's lifted up in pride.
Yes.
And if you relate this to Numbers 21, the result of it was he numbered the people.
Yep.
And in verse 7, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Lord, when I had your favor, my mountain was strong. He's talking about when I had your favor, things was wonderful. But you've hid your face, and I was troubled. Notice it's past tense. He's on beyond this now when he writes this. But he says, "Thou hast hid thy face, and I was troubled." I do believe that a child of God walking with God, and David was a man known to walk with God.
Yes, sir.
But and when a person is walking with God, close to God, it don't take much of God beginning to turn from them before they recognize it.
That's right.
David had the countenance of God shining upon him in great power and glory. But now David's being chastened. And I believe before that he's even chastened, because if you look at the scripture, he's repented before the chastening comes.
Yeah.
But he begins to see God hiding his face from him. And that's the idea. And then his cry is made in verse 8. As he begins to see God turn his face from him, he said, "I cried unto thee, O Lord." Now he's not talking about God. In the psalm, he's talking to God.
Right.
"I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication." Verse 9, I believe, is some of the things David said. When we look at verse 9, I believe this is David's supplication.
Right.
If you will, he gives three arguments for God to spare his life. And these arguments are, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And when I say David makes these three arguments, I'm not talking about that he gets in a fuss with God. What I'm talking about, he is making his case. My boys would come to me and say, "Can I do something?" And I'd say no, and they'd start making their case. But Daddy, everybody else is doing it. No, they're not. You're not. But anyway, sometimes a case could be made. You know, I can't remember one, but with the Lord, it does say, "Come now and let us reason together." And so David is making his argument unto the Lord that, Lord, basically he's saying, if you let me live, I can praise you. I can extol you. If you let me live, I can exalt your name. If you let me live, I can tell others about you. But what profit to you? What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Lord, while I'm alive, I can praise you. I may not be a perfect example, but I can praise you. But the dust, no. If I go down to the dust, I'm dead. I can't praise you.
Right.
Shall the dust declare thy truth? And then listen to this. I put in my notes there, David made his supplication unto the Lord. And he gave three arguments. And then he gave three pleas. Hear, O Lord. That's what he's asking. He's pleading with God to hear him. And have mercy on me.
Amen.
That's the second one. Hear me, have mercy on me, and be thou my helper.
Amen.
Again, there's that little threes.
Yep.
And it's And by the way, I didn't get that from any of the commentators. It just, in my meditation upon this, the Lord allowed me to see that, and I bless Him for it. And I'm sure that there's been thousands of others that have seen it before I did. But He said, "Here, have mercy on me, be thou my helper." Amen. And in verse 11, He said, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." Again, when you look at this, this verse, it's got three parts in it, but all of it has to do with the fact that of joy in the morning.
Amen.
"Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth," and the word "thou" here is not, it's not there, but it's implied. "And thou girded me with gladness." And girded me with gladness. And so we see those. And then the way I see verse 12 is as an explanation of verses 1 through 5. I want you to listen, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. "To the end that my glory..." Now, he said, excuse me just a minute. In verse 11, he says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks unto Thee forever." Another one of the little trilogies. In David's prosperity, his heart has been lifted up. And he says, "I shall never be moved." If you relate this to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you'll find that David has numbered the people of God. God's displeased, hides His face from David. David is troubled. David repents. And friends, can I tell you that it's only the saint of God that is troubled with God hiding His face.
That's right.
The sinner don't want God to look upon him.
Right.
It's why they do things in darkness.
Yep.
Because they don't come to the light because their deeds are evil, the Bible said. And so David saw God as hiding His face, and David immediately begins to cry unto the Lord. The saint of God, walking close to God, again, I remind you, will begin to sense God's hiding His face from them more quickly than someone who's walking afar off.
Right.
Because of that still small voice, someone said it like this: you need to walk close to Him so you can hear Him.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes my wife will start down the hallway. I'll be in one room and she'll start down the hallway away from me, and she'll say something, and I have to get up and go after her to find out what she said. And it's the same way with me. We find out as we get older that we need to be closer. But with God, God's got that still small voice, is the way He chooses. Now listen, God can thunder. And when they heard Him from heaven, they thought it was thunder. And He thunders, and it's the sound of His voice. But let me tell you today, for the saint of God, when they're walking close to Him, they're hearing that still, small voice. And so David wants to hear that again. And as he calls unto God, that verse 12 closes with "to this end." In other words, with this view in mind, with this view in mind, or to the praise that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks unto thee forever. So he's actually returning to the beginning of the psalm. As many of the psalms do. I will extol thee, O Lord. I will highly praise thee, in other words. And then he adds, forever. That's what he adds at the end. Forever.